This week, Mufti Muhammad Aku will be speaking about Bara bin Malik radiallahu anhu. Every week, we profile a different Sahabi, and from the life of that Sahabi, we take out lessons that we can implement in our daily lives. So this week, we speak about Bara bin Malik radiallahu anhu.
الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. My respected listeners, the lives of Sahaba رضي الله عنهم is such a guidance for us in every aspect of life. The more we go into their life, the more the perfume, the more that beautiful scent, the more the purity becomes apparent. Such people. That Allah has chosen to be the best of all after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So the lives that we are discussing are the lives of the greats. People who were the greats with no lie, no fabrication. We discussed this great family before, but this is one individual of this family. His brother's name was Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, who made the khidmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His mother's name was Ummu Sulaym, who would teach her children the love of Allah and the love of deen and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from their tender ages. His father's brother, his name was Anas ibn Nadar, that Sahabi who made great sacrifice in Uhud and gave his life for Allah's deen. His maternal uncle was Haram bin Milhan. Haram is a Sahabi's name. Haram means sacred. Sacred. Haram bin Milhan was sent in Allah's path to teach deen. On this occasion, they were sent 70 Sahaba who were students, who were close students and associates of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to such an extent that they would spend the night in Masjid Nabawi. Their days and their nights were spent in the company of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a request in a certain area for Sahaba to teach deen. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent 70 Sahaba there to that area to spread the deen, to teach the deen of Allah Ta'ala and to invite to the deen of Allah Ta'ala. So the uncle of this Sahabi, our hero on this discussion, his name was Haram. He goes to that area. He was sent to present the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the chief, to the commander. And as the Sahabi is explaining the deen and calling to Allah, the commander of that area, his name was Abu Tufail. He gets one of his soldiers to stab the Sahabi in his back while he was presenting the message of the deen of Allah. And that spear pierces through the Sahabi's back. It penetrates through his chest, bursting through, blood gushing forth, and he raises his hands, now filled and smeared in blood, raising it to the skies and appreciating Allah, wherein he screams out saying, Fuztu wa Rabbil Kaaba, by the Qasam of the Rabb of the Kaaba, I have won. This was the objective of Sahaba, that they fulfilled the message of deen, they presented the message of deen, where they left this world, whether it was far away from home, they were happy that they presented the message of the deen of Allah. This was the maternal uncle of our hero on this occasion. What was his name? Al-Bara. Bin Malik, bin Nadar, bin Dhamdam, bin Zaid, bin Haram, bin Jundub, bin Amir. He was Ansari, Najjari, Madani. He is known by historians as Al-Batal Al-Karrar, Sahibu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa akhu Khadim al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhum. He was that great hero, the Sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the brother of the Khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhum. So I clarify Al-Bara, not Al-Barra. Al-Barra is another Sahabi. Al-Barra ibn Azim. This is Al-Barra without a tashdeed on the Ra, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Both are Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. The Sahabi participated in all expeditions with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, excepting that of Badr, because of his tender age. Remember, my respected listeners, Sahaba radiallahu anhum had different traits. And each one stood out for something different and special. Like we learned about Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, in so many ways he stood out, especially his knowledge and imparting of the knowledge of deen. Ubaidullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, his generosity and his sharing and his selfless nature. Bara bin Malik radiallahu anhu was a sahabi, he stood out in many ways. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rubba ash'atha aghbar. Sometimes a person is ash'ath, unkempt, could be dusty. Aghbar. Ritimrain. The garments that he's wearing is very, very simple. But one, he's so close to Allah, so close to Allah, that if he takes an oath and he pleads with Allah, Allah will fulfill his oath. And really, in that report, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Minhumul Bara ibn Malik. And that was the description of this Sahabi radiallahu anhu. The reporter is Anas radiallahu anhu. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rubba ذِي طِمْرَيْن. A man with simple garments. لَا يُؤْبَهُ لَهُ. People would not give him a second look. But he's so close to Allah, so close to Allah. If he takes an oath upon Allah, Allah will fulfill his oath. And from them, on top of the list, is Al-Bara ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We learn from there, my respected listeners, who are we to judge? We are not the judges. The judgment is in Allah's hands. We should worry what is our condition before Allah. We should learn from the lives of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Don't take things at face value. Don't take things at face value. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful. Sometimes Allah loves something in someone that makes that person so close to Allah ta'ala. We shouldn't look at the faults of people, but we should actually look at the good in people. And Allah ta'ala will enhance our lives and Allah will grant us those beautiful qualities. The sahabi was so brave. إِنَّهُ الْكَمِيُّ الْبَاسِلُ الْمِقْدَامُ. He was so brave, so brave. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, when he would go out in the path of Allah, Umar radiallahu anhu would write to his amirs, to his amirs, and he would say to them that do not appoint Bara bin Malik as in charge of any of the armies, because he is so brave that others would get destroyed because of the level of the courage of Bara bin Malik, the brother of Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, there was a lot of fitna that took place. That some whose iman was weak, who had just embraced Islam, said that how is it that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world? So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent Sahaba radiallahu anhum to different regions to save the iman of the people. And Sahaba radiallahu anhum went, and a lot of struggling and striving for Allah's deen took place. Like Ala bin Hadrami radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to Bahrain. And how he reconvinced the people that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Nabi of Allah, and he left this world, like Anbiya alayhi wa sallam came and left this world. Many came back to the truth, and others refused, and then great jihad took place. Like Musaylimah Kadhab. Musaylimah Kadhab claimed prophethood, and his people followed him. And then towards them Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sent Ikrimah radiallahu anhu in that region. And then the Muslims had lost that expedition. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sent Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu with Bara radiallahu anhum and others. And here, this battle took place on the battlefield of Yamama in Najd, a region called Najd. And as the battle started, the Muslims had lost. And as the Muslims had lost, there was great danger, and Sahaba radiallahu anhum made great sacrifices. Thabit bin Qais radiallahu anhu, who was carrying the banner of the Ansar, he actually got ready. He dug himself into the ground, firm his feet so he couldn't run. And he fought and he strove. And until he met his end, striving for Allah's sake. Zayd bin Khattab, Umar radiallahu anhu's brother, was calling the Muslims. Come, O Muslims. Uddu ala adrasikum. Strike forward. Go forward. Charge. And then he said, I will not speak up till the time that Musaylimah Kadhab, the imposter, is defeated. Oh, I will meet Allah Ta'ala and I will have an answer for him that I tried my best. Salim radiallahu anhu, he was carrying the banner of the Muhajireen. So others told him that, Salim, maybe you should give it to others. He says, how can I be a man of the Quran and I drop this banner? It is not possible. I will keep this banner. And he held the banner until he left this world. But all the Sahaba made great sacrifices. But then The mushrikeen went through a setback, the murtadeen, and they ran into this huge fortress, and they sealed the walls around them, and they closed the doors. Now the Muslims were outside the fort, and they couldn't get in. What then happened? The Muslims didn't know what to do. They went through mashura, a consultation. Bara radiallahu anhu put himself forward, and he said, throw me into this fortress from the top. Put me onto a shield, and you pierce your spears into the shield, and a big group of Muslims should run and then throw me, and I would reach the top of this fort and pounce onto them and try my best and struggle and strive until I can get the door open from the inside. And in no time, Bara bin Malik radiallahu anhu was ready. He was a very thin sahabi. فَقَدْ كَانَ ضَئِيلَ الْجِسْمِ نَحِيلَهُ His body was frail and thin. So these spears lifted him. It was shafted into the shield. And then he was casted amidst the thousands of the men of Musaylima. He fell upon them like a thunderbolt. And he strove and he fought until he conquered and triumphed, being wounded over 80 times with fatal wounds. He finally reached the door and he pulled out the handle of the door and he screamed with Takbir, Allahu Akbar, the Takbir from the inside coincided with that from the outside, and the Muslims gushed into this fortress, and this battle continued. And with that effort of Bara bin Malik radiallahu anhu, alhamdulillah, the Muslims victored in that battle. Bara bin Malik radiallahu anhu was so ill, was so badly injured after that expedition. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu himself tended to him for a month to see to Bara bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu's recovery. All his life he asked Allah for martyrdom. All his life he asked Allah to make him shaheed, to accept him in Allah's way. To such an extent that on one occasion he was lying down and he was badly ill and wounded. So he was rendering verses of poetry. So his brother Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu comes to see him, and he hears him reading these verses of poetry. So he says, my brother Tataghanna, why are you singing these words of poetry? Let's read Quran. وَقَدْ أَبْدَلَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْقُرْآنِ So he says, my brother, you think I'll pass away like this? I will not pass away on my bed. I will pass away, I will die in the path of Allah. Allah gave me tawfiq in expeditions. In combat, in open combat, I defeated 99 men one after the other. In the duels, besides who I conquered in the battlefield itself. So Allah will not take me on my bed. Allah will take me in the path of Allah. Sahaba radiallahu anhum had such consciousness and such hope and aspiration that Allah will accept them to die in Allah's path as well. He participated in many expeditions. On every occasion he was ready to strive for Allah's sake, to move for Allah's deen, to uplift Allah's deen, to liberate mankind from slavery that they were in, to liberate mankind from those misconceptions that they were in, to show them the way and the light, the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way of freedom, the way of success, the way of peace and happiness. Finally came the expedition of Tustar. Tustar was one of the major cities of Persia. And the Muslims came to that region. They were striving for Allah's sake. And this siege took very, very long, because they were well sieged inside this fort for a very lengthy period of time. And there was no way the Muslims were getting in. Now, the Muslims tried very, very hard, to such an extent that after a lengthy siege, the mushrikeen tried something different. From the top of their huge solid fort, they would send down burning hooks, kalalib, steel hooks that was made, was heated very much like burning coal and amber. With its chain, it was connected to a chain, and it would be casted from the top and it would be thrown down. And if it touches anyone's body, it would many a time pierce through the body because of the heat of the hook. And if it catches anyone, they would uplift that person. And as they raising him, as he was being raised because of the heat of this hook, being pulled up towards the top of the fort. Many a time he would die as he was being lifted, and sometimes if he reached the top and was had still life, he would be slaughtered in front of everyone. On one occasion, one of these hooks struck Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, the brother of Bara bin Malik radiallahu anhu. As soon as Bara sees his brother being lifted like this, he runs. He uses the wall as a springboard, and he jumps from there onto this chain that is hot. He holds the chain with the one hand. He maneuvers the hook with the other hand, gauging it and trying to pull it out from his brother's flesh. And he finally gets it out. And remember, mind you, this hook is blazing with heat. And the hand of Bara is being smoked. His flesh is perishing. He gets his brother out. He throws him down. And then he jumps down. But remember, he had no flesh left on his hand. Bara radiallahu anhu always asked Allah to accept him as a shaheed in the way of Allah. On this expedition as well, he asked Allah. The Muslims were going through so much of difficulty on this expedition. They came to Bara radiallahu anhu. They said, "Oh Bara, we heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that if you take qasam on Allah, Allah will fulfill your qasam. Please Bara, ask Allah. Insist on Allah." He raised his hands and he said, "Oh Allah, I ask you, I insist, I take oath, oh my Rabb. Allah, you give us victory. Allah, you turn their backs and you give us victory and make them run and make us conquer them. Wa alhaqtani bi nabiyyik sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah, my request is you take me to your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Accept me in your path." And Allah Ta'ala accepted him in Allah Ta'ala's way. These ahadith in Hayatul Sahaba, volume 2, page 128. Around those pages, you will see these du'as of Bara bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, extracted from Hakim with sahih sound chains of narrators. How then did the Muslims finally enter this fort? Because the ruler of this fort was a man by the name of Hormuzan, who was very, very treacherous at that time, who had deceived and betrayed the Muslims on many occasions. He had gone into contracts, and then he had went against his contracts, going completely against his word. Now this was a lengthy siege. Whilst Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, because the Amir on this expedition was Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, as he was now monitoring this fort. And remember, Bara radiallahu anhu was one of the main men, but he was not Amir, because that was the instruction of Umar radiallahu anhu, that Bara is too brave. As Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu was now pondering and looking at this fort, now hoping, making dua, trying to make a plan, how are we going to penetrate and get through? Just then, one arrow lands in front of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. And he notices that there was a letter wrapped around it. And he read the letter, and it had a message saying that, "I trust you Muslims. You are people of integrity and honesty, and I do not trust the mushrikeen, the idolaters, especially Hormuzan. I am also from the royal family, but if you give me amnesty, I will show you a secret entry to the city." Abu Musa radiallahu anhu then sent the letter back into the direction from which it came. And this man, not long after that, sneaks out of the fort and he comes to meet Abu Musa radiallahu anhu under the wing of darkness. Then he explains the entire scenario to Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, explaining how Hormuzan had murdered his elder brother and usurped his wealth, and he preferred the justice of the Muslims and the Muslims' integrity and loyalty. He said, "I want to show you an entrance point, a secret pass to enter the city, Dustar." And then he said, "Give me one of your men who has bravery and intelligence. He must be a very good swimmer. I want to take him through." Abu Musa radiallahu anhu then called a sahabi by the name of Majza'a bin Thawr al-Sadusi radiallahu anhu. And he then explained to him the entire scenario. And he said, "Oh Majza'a, give me one of your men to actually fulfill this task." Majza'a radiallahu anhu says, "O Amir, O Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, make me that man to fulfill this task." Abu Musa radiallahu anhu allowed him and made dua for him. And then he said to him, "Please remember the route properly and decipher the actual entrance and get to know exactly where is Hormuzan. You should be able to recognize him and come back. Don't do anything further." Majza'a radiallahu anhu now travels under these tunnels, underground, with this guide, Persian guide. This man takes him via these tunnels underground, connecting the point where the Muslims were to the city. It went under a river, and there was these tunnels. And in this tunnel, it was very, very difficult. There was huge passages. Sometimes there were different routes. Majza'a had to sometimes swim, sometimes walk, sometimes crawl. Sometimes the tunnel would branch out into a couple entries. And finally, after a lot of toil and difficulty, he entered the entry, the secret entry to the city. He takes him through secrecy in the dead of night and shows him the place of Hormuzan. And he managed to see Hormuzan. Just then Majza'a radiallahu anhu felt, if I just shoot him now with my arrow, this big task will be fulfilled. But he just then remembered the instruction of the Amir, Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, not to do anything further. So he contained his desire and his wish, and he returned from where he came. Abu Musa radiallahu anhu then prepared 300 men from the people of strong hearts and bravery and tolerance and patience, and who had the ability to swim. He made Majza'a bin Thawr radiallahu anhu the Amir, and he bidded them farewell and gave them guidelines. And he gave them takbir as their sign to actually charge into the city, because now they had to penetrate through this entry, secret entry, and then reach the main shutter door and get that opened to get the Muslims to come in. Majza'a radiallahu anhu says to his men to dress lightly, and also do not wear things that will actually carry a lot of water because of the difficulty to swim underground through those tunnels. And also he gave them guidelines. And then they continued trying to penetrate through these secret tunnels under the ground, and toiling and striving and struggling, he finally reaches that secret entry to the city. And when he reaches there, he finds that from his 300 men, it was only 80 that were left. The tunnels had devoured 220 of them. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Imagine, my respected listeners, this report of Anas radiallahu anhu in Bayhaqi. He says, when we had sieged Tustar, and Allah ta'ala gave us victory, and Hormuzan gave in, and he submitted to the decision of Umar radiallahu anhu. When we finally reach Umar radiallahu anhu, and then other reports mention when he came to Medina Munawwara, where was Umar radiallahu anhu? He wasn't at home, he was in the masjid. And Hormuzan, when he sees Umar radiallahu anhu, he was shocked to see that simplicity, and he was awe-stricken. Umar radiallahu anhu says, speak, what is the matter? Hormuzan was scared, he couldn't speak. He said, you want me to speak like that of a person who's dying or is going to live? Kalamu hayyin or kalamu mayyit. Umar radiallahu anhu didn't respond to that. He said, speak, no problem, you can speak. So he said that we and y'all, as long as there was no fight between us, we didn't fight, y'all were far off, we didn't bother because we had ruled over you, we could enslave y'all and we would conquer y'all. But now y'all have become so strong because Allah is with y'all, so we don't have the strength against y'all. Then he said, O Amirul Mu'mineen, if you leave me, it is better. Then others will not get upset and fight further and fight more ferociously. Umar radiallahu anhu says, how can I give respite and spare the life of the one who killed Bara bin Malik and Majza'a bin Thawr? I will never do that. Anas radiallahu anhu says, I was worried that Umar radiallahu anhu will kill this individual. So I said, O Amirul Mu'mineen, you did tell him, you did give him some respite. You did say, speak, no problem. And there was an indication of amnesty in that. You said to him, takallam la ba, speak, there's no problem in that. Umar radiallahu anhu says, Anas, what is wrong with you? Have you taken something from him? Meaning, just in anger, Umar radiallahu anhu said that. O Anas, you have to bring for me proof, otherwise I will punish you for what you are saying. He says, I went to ask others. Zubayr radiallahu anhu had the same view as I, and he also bore witness with me. And then Umar radiallahu anhu said, how can I leave a man who had killed my great Sahaba, Bara bin Malik and Majza bin Thawr? And then Hormuzan saw the scene. What was the scene, my respected listeners? The fact that he had killed Bara bin Malik, and he had shown treacherous practices, treachery. And the man who is now interceding on his behalf is Anas bin Malik, radiallahu anhu. Imagine Anas bin Malik, radiallahu anhu, the Sahabi of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Really, just reading the lives of Sahaba, it makes our hair stand. The lives of Sahaba, radiallahu anhu. His brother who rescued him in the expedition. When Anas, radiallahu anhu, was hooked by that boiling steel hook, his brother rescued him. But here, he's prepared to intercede for Hormuzan, because Hormuzan must get saved from Jahannam. This environment of Medina Munawwara, this environment of Medina Munawwara was enough for Hormuzan. He would investigate, who is this man who is interceding for me? Anas bin Malik, the brother of the man who I killed. This was enough for him. He uttered the Shahadatain. He embraced Islam there and then. Umar radiallahu anhu was then also cooled. That now that you have embraced Islam, you my brother. Umar radiallahu anhu gave him a place to stay and gave him a monthly income where he can live his life and learn the deen in the environment of Masjid al-Nabawi, in the environment of Medina Munawwara, the environment of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that pure environment. This was the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. It was their sacrifice. It was their efforts. It was their qurbani that we are Muslims today. The deen reached us today. Sahaba radiallahu anhum had such hearts that they went through difficulty. They gave in their passions. They sacrificed their loved ones. But mankind must get hidayat. Rahmah must be shown to humanity. This was the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Bara radiallahu anhu left this world on that expedition of Tustar. It was 20 Hijri. And then his brother Anas radiallahu anhu lived long after that. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the last Sahabi to pass away in Basra. Basra. And he was one of the last Sahaba radiallahu anhum to leave this world. The last Sahabi on the face of the earth was a Sahabi by the name of Abu Tufail Amir bin Wathila radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who passed away in Makkah Mukarramah. Anas radiallahu anhu was the last Sahabi to pass away in Basra. He left this world, he was 103 years old. And it was in the year 93 Hijri. Ulama write that it was the barakat of khidmat that Allah Ta'ala blessed him with such a long Mubarak life. And it is the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah give us tawfiq to emulate the beautiful teachings and practices of the glorious Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The poet says so beautifully, إِنْ أَرَادْتُمْ أَن تَكُونُوا شَامَةً بَيْنَ الْوَرَىٰ فَقَتَفُوا آثَارَ جِيلٍ لِلْمَعَالِي سَتَّرَىٰ إِنْ أَرَادْتُمْ أَن تَكُونُوا شَامَةً بَيْنَ الْوَرَىٰ جِيلِ زَيْدٍ وَأُسَيْدٍ وَالْمُثَنَّى وَالْبَرَىٰ. If you really want to stand out like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, in arattum an takunu shama, to be that beautiful spot, to be that radiating light for humanity amongst mankind, then you have to follow the way and the period, the era of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Jili Zaydin, that era of Zayd, Usaid, Muthanna, and Bara radiallahu anhum. So it's referring to Zayd ibn al-Khattab and Zayd bin Thabit, Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhum, Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu, Muthanna bin Haritha al-Shaybani radiallahu anhu, and Al-Bara ibn Malik radiallahu anhum. Allah give us tawfiq. Let us read three quotes for the Sahabi and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.